Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends when you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." In last Sunday's gospel reading, we heard Jesus say to his disciples, "I am the vine, you are the branches." And he said that that means you are to bear fruit. And we heard him say that again today. Right after that, today's reading, Jesus teaches that love, this is what he's teaching, love is the most basic fruit that his disciples are to bring into the world. Love one another as I have loved you. As disciples, we're connected to Jesus. I am the vine, you are the branches. And our lives, because we're connected to Jesus, are saturated with divine love. The Greek word for this kind of love is agape. This is the love that Jesus has for us and the love that he wants to have for one another. It's the greatest kind of love. We often call it unconditional love. It's the love where one is willing to lay down their life for another. As disciples, as church, we're called to discover ways to lay down our lives for others. Now, for Jesus, that resulted in physical death. But he's now teaching that for us, laying down our lives for others results in joy. Jesus said, "I say these things so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." We lay down our lives in ministry for others, in love for others, and the result will be our joy. Last week, a few days after a family dinner at our house, I pulled out the vacuum cleaner. At first, everything was going fine. But when I was halfway done, there was a problem. No suction. The machine wasn't doing what it was supposed to do. Nothing was picking up. Now, a quick disclaimer. There's a statement that I've often made over the years. Some of you have maybe even heard it. I've never been accused of being a handyman. I'm not skilled in this area. In fact, the way Joe puts it,
Give him a Bible and a computer, but keep him away from the tools. But still, I was going to try. So I pulled out the manual. I took the vacuum cleaner apart cautiously as best I could. But there was a section that was real hot, and I concluded that I'd burned out the motor. I'd reached the limit of what I could do. So I put everything back together. But then I went online and found a video with the same kind of vacuum cleaner. And the actual handyman said, "This video will fix 99% of the problems." I wished. So I watched it, and I had done every single thing that was suggested in the video. So I concluded that I was in the 1% that needed a repair. But I wasn't satisfied with that conclusion, so I took the vacuum cleaner apart again. And I discovered that there was one part I hadn't checked. It was a long, straight tube. And I held it up to the light, and I couldn't see the lights. It was really clogged. It took me about 15 minutes to clean that tube out. It was packed in there. And after I got it clogged, guess what? The vacuum cleaner worked properly. I was in the 99%. It was music to my ears when Joe said to me, "You're a handyman." That vacuum cleaner problem made me think that our souls sometimes get clogged up. And God's love can get hindered in our lives. Our lives can go fine for a while. But sometimes we stop working properly. Our souls don't do what they're supposed to do. We don't let God's love flow through us freely. The other day I asked myself, what kind of things clog up our souls? I won't tell you the things that were clogging up the vacuum cleaner. You don't want to hear it. But what kind of things clog up our souls? What kind of things stop our souls from working the way they're supposed to work? The first thing that came to my mind was the word gossip. We too often say things about others that are hurtful and many times untrue. Most times not the full story. And when we gossip, our souls get clogged up. The next clog that came to my mind was judgmentalism. Too often we judge others without knowing their whole story or what's happening in their lives or how they're hurting. We even judge the salvation of others, even though Jesus told us not to. We forget that God intends for divine love to flow through every single human being. Judgmentalism clogs up our souls. Another thing that clogs our souls is materialism. We live in a material world. We need material things to help us in the work of discipleship. Material things aren't bad. But too often we get clogged up with obsessive attachment to material things. We even forget sometimes the things of God. And when that happens, our souls get clogged up and our lives don't work properly. Still another clog in our lives is resentment. The refusal to forgive. When we refuse to forgive others as we have been forgiven, our souls get all clogged up. And we don't work right. We don't work properly. when we don't forgive. Truth is, every type of sin clogs up our souls. We aren't working properly when we are saturated in sin. Jesus is saying that we're our best selves when we're saturated in divine love. We're our best selves when we marinate in God's love. We don't need a handyman to unclog our souls. We need Jesus. Jesus, who laid down his life for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus laid down his life for the unclogging of our souls. We have a hymn written 25 years ago titled, O Christ, Your Heart Compassionate, which is a poetic way of saying what I've just said. The song says that the heart of God and the heart of Jesus are combined in a perfect rhyme. Because of this, God's love comes to us. God's love covers and envelops our actions. Eternity, the song says, eternity comes down to our time. The third verse of the song is a prayer asking that our hearts beat in tune with Christ's heart. I love the way that's said, that our hearts beat in tune with Christ's heart. We're at our best when we're in tune with God's love. When we're saturated in God's love, our souls then become unclogged or decluttered, if you will. In the verses after today's gospel reading about love, there's a warning. We didn't read it today, but there's a warning. There's a reminder that there's hatred in the world. Jesus is saying that disciples of Jesus are not supposed to be part of the world's hatred. We're not working properly as disciples and as the church when we marinate in the world's hatred. When we marinate in things like gossip, judgmentalism, materialism, revenge. There's a statement that comes at the end of today's reading where Jesus says that when we abide in him, the Father will give you whatever you ask in his name. The Father will give you, Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name. To be honest with you, I usually avoid talking about that in sermons because literally that statement doesn't seem to ring true. Whatever you ask. But it's completely true when it's understood in the context of the vine and the branches. This is the way I think about it. When we abide in Christ, when we are saturated with divine love, when we marinate in God's love, it never occurs to us, it won't even occur to us, to ask, for example, dear God, give me $1,000,000. Won't occur to us to pray that way. It never will occur to us when we're marinating in God's love to pray for revenge upon another person. When we marinate in God's love, we're always asking for love. And God is always giving love. God is always unclogging our souls. God will give us love no matter what happened in the past. God gives us love no matter the present circumstances, and bless whatever present circumstances are going on there. God will give us love no matter what lies ahead for us. When we pray, our hearts beat in tune with God's heart. Our hearts beat in tune with resurrection joy. Our hearts are Easter hearts. Our hearts beat in tune with the love of Jesus who laid down his life for us. So why did Jesus lay down his life for us? Why does God continue to saturate us with love? Jesus gave us the answer. So that you may love one another. And so that your joy may be complete. Eternally. Resurrection complete. Let us pray. Pray in your hearts for victims of gossip, judgmentalism, materialism, resentment. Pray for the victims of sin. And as you pray, hear Jesus say, love. Pray for strength and wisdom. Even pray for the willingness for God's Holy Spirit to lead us into practical ways of laying down our lives for others. And as we pray this for ourselves, hear Jesus say, love. Friends in Christ, pray for the whole world. Pray for every single person in the world. Picture the globe we call Earth and pray for the unclogging of sin and evil that abounds in our world. And pray that the voice of God will saturate the whole world and every person, and pray that everyone will hear the voice of God. Love.